You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Now, back in November, we took a look at the adjustments that were coming or potentially coming through in the form of potential tax changes to unit trusts. If you've missed that conversation, it is up on our website. The podcast is available there. We're going to be taking a look at that as well, once again, with the team at 361 Asset Management, because it is such a significant aspect of investors' portfolios, particularly when you look at collective investment schemes and how they are currently being managed. I'm joined on the line by the portfolio manager from 361 Asset Management, Stephen Hurwitz, to take a look at this. Good evening, Stephen. Thanks so much for taking the time. Let's start by recapping and getting a bit of an understanding around the current tax structures related to unit trusts and collective investment schemes. How is it currently being seen by the revenue services?
Hi, Jimmy. Thank you very much for having me on this evening. So currently, how it works is that funds are required to make a distribution of income that they've earned to to the underlying investor. So that would be interest earned or dividends that have accrued. And then the underlying investor will have to include those distributions in their tax return. In terms of gains that are made on disposal of shares, for example, the treatment will be dependent on whether those gains are seen as capital or revenue from the fund's perspective. So if they are deemed to be revenue, the fund should pay them out also as a distribution, and then it will be taxed in the investor's hands in their own income tax return. But if they are capital, then the fund will not have to make any distribution. It will be exempt from any tax at a fund level. And then when the investor ultimately disposes of their units in the fund, after a couple of years, they will pay CGT on the cumulative gains that the fund has made over that period of time. So there is a significant benefit to being invested in a fund, given that it allows you to have this deferral of CGT.
Mm. Stephen, now under the new tax structures, the understanding here is that we're now moving to largely everything being revenue-based, or at least being part of revenue. Tell us about the significant difference that that creates, particularly from an ultimate beneficial owner or a taxpayer perspective or an investor perspective.
So there are a number of proposals that have been made, but ultimately what it does come down to is that most of the gains that a fund will be made will be treated as revenue in the underlying investor's hands. Now, the big issue here is that we get the sense that this is being rushed without considering the wide-ranging consequences of such a tax proposal, as there was only 1 month that people that were concerned had to make a submission to National Treasury. Now, South Africa has a shrinking tax base. This is clear from the stats that recently came out from SARS. There've been a large number of people that have financially immigrated to avoid being included in the SA tax net. And I think it's very important that we have policies that encourage savings and investment in South Africa. And unfortunately, this proposal does the opposite. Even the discussion document itself states that South Africa has a low savings rate.
So, Stephen, with a shrinking tax base and this seemingly shift, or the shift supposedly towards increasing tax from that shrinking tax base, what are the alternatives that could potentially be explored? Because this doesn't sound like it's the best move here.
In our view, it's not the best move. And I'll come back to what the alternatives are, but I think what's important to speak about before we get to the alternatives is the fact that this proposal suggests that we should follow a fully tax transparent regime, which is similar to what they have in Hong Kong and Switzerland. The big issue is that the discussion paper never takes it a step further and says, well, what does it look like from a taxpayer's perspective in Hong Kong and Switzerland? And in Switzerland, it all depends on whether you're classified as a professional securities trader or private investor. If you're a private investor, the gains are tax-free. And in order to be a private investor, you need to have held the shares for 6 months, and your transaction volume must be less than 5 times the portfolio value, which is very different to Section 9C in the South African Income Tax Act, which says that you have to have held the shares for more than 3 years. Similarly, in Hong Kong, they have a very similar type of distinction. And in both of these cases, in Switzerland and in Hong Kong, if you are treated as a private investor, your gains are actually tax-free. So that's very different to a case in the scenario in South Africa, where if you are in the highest individual income tax bracket, on capital gains tax, you'd be paying 22.5%. And if it was treated as revenue, you'd be paying 45%. So yes, those other countries do have full pass-through, but when it comes to the tax treatment in the individual investor's hands, it ends up being tax-free. So I don't think that by taking those two countries, it necessarily should be applied the same in South Africa. Now, moving on to what we think the solution should be, we think that it should be very similar to what the United Kingdom has. So in the UK, all income is distributed to the underlying investors, and they have to include that income, whether it's interest or dividends, in their own income tax return. And capital gains, whether they are short-term or long-term holdings, are exempt from any tax consequences. And the investor only pays tax once they dispose of the units in the fund. And this encourages long-term savings, which is what South Africa needs. Now, interestingly, in the 2013 Draft Tax Laws Amendment Bill, there actually was a proposal, Section 101 DA, that stated that capital gains versus revenue is an unnecessary distinction, and that receipts and accruals of a portfolio should be exempt. So that would exempt any disposals from being included in the income tax. And this would align it to the UK treatment.
Stephen, what about the allocations? I mean, from an asset management point of view, asset managers for a large part are invested in things like unit trusts and collective investment schemes type investments as part of long-term strategies. Do you think that the adjustment in the tax treatment will affect how you as asset managers sit back and say, hang on, in the best interests of our clients and the returns, maybe we might not be as weighted on these products?
So ultimately, what our investors are going to be interested in is what is their after-tax return going to be? And as a result, if it means that we will have to, buy or sell shares less frequently, it can result in much more inertia across the industry. And this can result in asset managers holding on to overvalued assets for longer. In order to try and avoid triggering tax. And this results in the misallocation of capital. I think that this is very negative for markets, as money should be attracted to the best opportunities out there. It also results in, I think, big structural issues in the industry where you have an entrenchment of market leaders. Larger, more established funds will generally have lower turnover anyway. And it will stifle competition and innovation in the industry. If the industry is to actually have further black economic transformation, it will be very difficult for emerging fund managers to outperform the larger managers and attract new assets without having the ability to trade more frequently.
Definitely lots to consider. It's amazing how one adjustment to tax legislation has such a ripple effect on everything else. We'll have to wait and see what happens in that regard. We do know that we are expecting that budget speech in February. So for now, nothing's changed, but this could potentially be a change. I think we'll leave the conversation there. Thanks so much, Stephen, for the time and for the insights. Stephen Hurwitz, Portfolio Manager at 361.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.